absolutely correct. But what I loved that Brother Ike talked about today was how in Thanksgiving, we are to rejoice always. We are to be thankful always. Well, just like we're supposed to do all of that, we're also supposed to worship always. Worship is not a place that we come to at church. It's not just this opportunity, these 30-minute increments where we worship the Lord with other believers. That's not just what worship is. And so if you have defined that, or we have defined that as what worship is, we only come to church once or twice a week to do so. So that means that on every other day, when do we worship? And so on verse 21, where Jesus starts is he in his response to her about worship being a place. He says, "Woman, believe me." Let's just stop right there. He says, "Believe me." So instead of listening to what our father said, and she was at the time, according to Jimmy Swaggart, she was referring to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, our fathers who came before us. He's saying, instead of going back and forth about what the Jews say, what the Samaritans say, I want you to believe me. Believe what I'm saying, because I am the Messiah. She's starting to kind of figure out this man is different. And he's like, believe me, and listen to me. So despite all of the arguments of the back and forth, believe me and be intimate with me to hear my voice. In order for us to believe, we got to sit in his presence. And I've been attacked, and it sounds like, you know, mine has been about a 2-week span too. I talked about he had been had an attack, you know, the last 2 weeks, and me as well, just attack after attack after attack. And I fell down and I got up and I fell down and I got up and I said, and every time I got up, I called Jesus, come to my rescue, Lord. Right? And so in that, y'all, our worship is not just a time of praise and music. Our worship is in what we do. It's in the process of how we live our lives. And so when he says, believe me, how do we believe something that we don't know? How do we believe someone that we don't know if we don't have conversation and intimate time with him? So he says, believe me, there's a time that's coming when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. So it may sound like he's saying that we're not going to worship in a place at all, but he's going somewhere with that. What he's saying is there's a time that's coming near where I am about to go to Calvary and I'm going to break the veil between heaven and earth. And my spirit, the Holy Spirit, will dwell throughout all of the earth. That's what he was referring to. And so in truth, all of the temple worship, the sacrifices and feast days, they were all about to close, even in Jerusalem. Doesn't mean that you couldn't worship there. It just means you aren't limited to that space. You're not limited to the temple. You're not limited to Jerusalem. You're not limited to Mount Moriah or Mount Gerizim. Like, you're not limited to those places, but that worship would take place wherever you go. And there will be this great, amazing spiritual awakening. And so as we continue to talk about this, we're going to go into the next verse where it says, or not the next one, we're going to go to verse 23. And it says, but the hour comes and now is. So the hour is coming, but it's also right now. And when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. But let's go back to just the true worshipers. When true worshipers shall worship in spirit and in truth. All things in the Bible, from the Old Testament to the New Testament, points to Jesus Christ. Every single thing that has happened from the first day points to Jesus Christ. And so for him to even have to say true worshipers, that means that there is a sense of a false worshiper. And so what I love that Ike brought out today is he talked about Satan and how Satan was formerly known as Lucifer, who is the highest angel And he had tabernacles and he had pipes and he had all of these different jewels and diamonds that were all over him. And he appeared on the surface to be something of beautiful, the most beautiful angel, the most beautiful worship leader. And that's what he did. That was what his job was in heaven. But I brought out so beautifully how there was something inside of him. There was iniquity in his heart. There was not good in his heart. Yet he was in charge of worship. He wanted to be more like God. He wanted things to worship him and angels to bow down to him. He wanted all of these things that God wanted. And yes, we are born with that same iniquity, which is why it says true worshipers in this scripture. True worshipers' hearts align with the word of God. True worshipers get away from the iniquity. They strive for righteousness, right? And we try to break down the barriers of our worship so that we can worship in spirit and in truth. But what does that mean? What does it mean to worship in spirit and in truth as a true worshiper of God? Well, that means that my spirit has to connect to God. That means that when I walk into a building or I walk into my house and I want to worship the Lord, that I don't see any barriers. And whatever it is that's going on in my heart, I surrender that to God. Whatever's going on in my spirit, I surrender that to God. And my focus is on Jesus. And so whenever I look up to heaven and I'm worshiping him, we just sang all these songs about worshiping God and worshiping who Jesus Christ is and all that he's done. We literally just sung 3 or 4 songs that had our focus on him and who he is, not what he's done, but who he is and how he created us, because we were created for worship. And so we have our, to worship in spirit is to break the barriers down. That means if I hold up my hands, there's nothing holding me back from reaching out to the Lord. If I bow down and I get on my knees and I bend in humility, there's nothing holding me back from worshiping my God. I'm sitting at his feet. And I am giving him everything that I have. But what happens is we sit things at his feet, we get up, and then we're like, oh no, God, I'm gonna take that one with me, and I'm gonna go. But what we have to do is that we gotta get down on our knees and we have to leave it there. And we have to know with our spirit, because we know his spirit, his Holy Spirit dwells within us, right? He put that in us. And so I'm going to get there here in a second. I'm a little ahead of myself. But when we talk about the spirit, my spirit has to connect to him in everything that I do. When I preach, when I get up here and preach, my spirit has to connect. When the worship team gets up here to sing, their spirit has to connect. You know what it looks like when we're not connected to the spirit. You know what it feels like, what you hear, and the atmosphere is different when we're not connected to the spirit. And I'm not saying that I haven't been that way before. I have. It's been hard to press into the presence, but you have to push through it. Our spirit must connect to the Lord Jesus Christ in order to go forth in what we're called to do. To worship as a true worshiper, our spirit must connect. But it also has to, our bodies, our mind, our hearts have to fall subject to the word of God. That's the truth part. To worship in truth, you have to fall subject to the word of God. That means that everything that's in this Bible is what we call truth. So everything that's in here, we must subject our hearts and our minds to the truth, to the word. So when we worship, whether at home, in your car, are you subjecting yourself to what that word says about who God is and who you are in him? Do we worship like that? Or are we too tired? I've been there too. Too tired to worship, Lord. I can't press in. Well, I can't press in because I'm so focused on the negative than I am the positive. I'm so focused on what I lack than what I have. And so how can I get into the true presence of the Lord and be a true worshiper of what he's called me to do? He created me to worship. If you don't like worshiping now, when we get to heaven, that's all we're going to do is worship. Holy, holy, holy. That's what we're going to sing. So if you don't like worshiping now, you better get into practice. Right? It's coming. We got to worship him. And we have to be sure that we know who we are in Christ that can allow us to get to his presence. You don't have to have it all together. That's what he wants. He wants you as you are. He wants you broken because he's the only one that can mend you and put you back together with his hands. If you're in his hands, he can fix whatever you have going on. And we can't forget that in the midst of the process. We can't forget that in the midst of our worship. We have to remember who he is and who we are in him. And so as we talk about true worshiping, what that looks like, we've gone through that. Having a spirit-filled life, being baptized in the Holy Spirit, that means everything in my lips is spirit-filled. Everything that comes out of my mouth is spirit-filled. Everything that I do is spirit-filled. Everything that I listen to is spirit-filled. That is true worship. That breaks the barriers of where worship should reside. It's everywhere that you walk and everywhere that you go. It's in your car. So if somebody cuts you off and you cuss them out, is that spirit-filled? Nope. But we've done it, right? And so we have to know that everything that we do, all that we are created to worship. So from the time that I wake up in the morning to the time that I lay my head down, I am worshiping my Lord and Jesus, my Lord Jesus Christ. From the time that I wake up to the time that I lay my head down, I'm worshiping Jesus Christ with my thoughts, with my words, with my heart, with how I speak to my husband, to how I speak to my children, to how I speak to, you know, my friend that's getting on my nerves. The praise is in our lips. How we treat people is in our actions, in our words. And we are called to worship all day because that's what we were created to do. And so we have to make sure that we are made up in our spirit, our spiritual and our mental minds are made up to worship. We cannot get so bogged down with life that we don't know how to do it. We can't press into his presence. His presence never leaves us. He's always there. You have to acknowledge that he's always there. And so we have to do it not simply because of what he's done for us, but just because of who he is. And so why do we worship him? We worship him because he is worthy. We worship him because he created us. We worship him because he loves us, because he saved us, because he is faithful, because he is holy, because he transforms us, because he commands it. He draws near through it. That's why we have to worship him. We worship him because he breaks the barriers and the chains that are on our lives. He is good. Simply because he is good, we worship him. And we worship him because heaven worships, and so do we. Let his kingdom come down to earth, and let us worship the Most High. And then the last part of that scripture says, "For the Father seeketh those who worship him in spirit and in truth." So if he has to seek to find a true worshiper, that means that there are not many. And so will we be amongst the few that are true worshipers of God, that put aside our own fleshly desires, our own fleshly wants and needs, to serve God in spirit and in truth? To worship him in spirit and in truth. Will we take the time to put all that aside and say, you know what, Lord, like, I don't even want to touch that anymore. Here I am. You can have me all day from the time that I wake up. We want him when we're asleep too. The thing is, he's going to wake you up at 3 o'clock in the morning and tell you to pray. And you're going to turn over. And you're going to be asleep. But guess what? In that moment, you're worshiping your sleep over him and spending time with him at 3 o'clock in the morning when he said, Tierra, get up. If I roll over, sleep is better. I'm worshiping And so we're worshiping 24/7, but what are we worshiping? Our fleshly desires, which is the devil, or our spiritual desires and needs, which is God. So if we wake up, if God says, I want you up at 4:30 every morning with me and you, 30 minutes, give me 30 minutes. Oh God, I can't do it. I'm too tired. That's me, y'all. I was just like, Lord, can we pick another time? He's like, no, 4:30. I'm worshiping my sleep, my desire over my one true God. And that's not okay. And so he been waking me up and I'm like, okay, Lord, we're going to pray. Now I pray in the bed, then you fall asleep, right? And so you got to get up and you got to go and pray so that you don't fall asleep. And so when we come into the house, when we come into the presence of the Lord, we have to be sure that we know that we are seeking him because he's seeking us. He wants us to be true worshipers. He created us to be true worshipers. And because he created us to do that, don't we owe him that time? Don't we owe him that our hearts and our minds and our spirit so that he can just allow us to rest in him? Worship is rest. It's freedom. We talked about dancing like the weight has been lifted. It may have not been lifted yet, but dance like it is. You dance in the process in the middle. And that's what, you know, Ike said today. I'm telling y'all, our message just flowed so together. And I love when God does that. He confirms what's in the spirit and what he wants us to know. And so in the process of whatever you're going through, in the midst of whatever you're going through, worship him. Worship him because worship has no walls. It's not confined to this space. It is everywhere. And so I want to talk a little bit about this. Before Jesus goes on, after he's been on the cross, he comes back, and this is in Acts chapter 1, and it's verses 4 through 5. This is where he reappears to the disciples, and it's before the Holy Spirit, the day of Pentecost comes. And he says, and it says, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. So he prophesies that the Holy Spirit is going to come. And the Holy Spirit is going to baptize them, right? So we all know this. Most of us know this. And so once the day of Pentecost comes, the disciples will scatter and they begin to perform miracles as Jesus did. And so they began to be persecuted. Some apostles were put in prison. So Acts 5:19 says, but the angel of, so there were these apostles who were doing all these miracles. And they were put in prison because they were being persecuted for all the things that they had done. So this is after the day of Pentecost. The day of Pentecost has already happened. Holy Spirit, everyone has scattered and we're doing all these works and miracles. And they get in prison. And Acts 5:19 says, but the angel of the Lord by night opens the prison door and brought them forth and said, go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. Verse 22 says, but when the officers came and found them not in prison, they returned and told, saying, the prison truly found we shut with all safety and the keeper standing without before the doors. But when we had opened, we found no man within. So the apostles that they put in prison, the angels came and let them out. And so when they came back to check and see where the men were, they were gone. And so it was worship without walls because of their obedience, because they were doing the work of God. God sent the angels to unlock the door. You can't confine worship to a space. You cannot confine the acts of miracles by God to a space. Worship is meant to be without walls. And so the Sadducees and the chiefs would try to imprison the apostles, but the angels in the scripture opened these doors, y'all. And so that just means that nothing and nobody can confine the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit has broken free, and it is everywhere that you go. So when you walk out to the parking lot, the Holy Spirit is there. When you get in your car, the Holy Spirit is there. When you get home, the Holy Spirit is there. Whatever restaurant you go to, the Holy Spirit is there. And you can worship in those spaces without walls. You can call on his name because you no longer are confined to a temple. You're no longer confined to a mount or a mountain where you go to pray. It is everywhere. And so as I get ready to close, I want to go to Acts 8. You don't have to go there, but the persecution of the church continued. It continued on and on and on, and they attacked him. And at this point, Saul is involved before he becomes Paul, and he's persecuting Christians. And they have imprisoned them, yet they couldn't keep them confined. But deliverance is happening. All of these things are happening. They are healing people. The man that was sitting at the gate called Beautiful, he was by John and Peter, he was healed in the name of Jesus. He was healed in the name of Jesus and was able to stand up. And so people are, they're going crazy. They're like, man, like, why is this happening? Because they didn't believe. But we're making all this change and all this transformation, and people are being healed, and miracles are happening over and over and over again. And there is worship without walls. And then they tried to come into the churches because they were coming in there to pull people out of the churches. They were bringing them to prison, but they couldn't confine them. They couldn't keep them there. And so when we get into our own lives, and persecution will come for Christians here in this country. When it comes, remember that your worship is not confined. Remember that angels will come and they will do miraculous things to help us escape, because worship cannot be confined. It can't be imprisoned. The door can't lock because of the God that we serve. Because of Jesus who came to die on Calvary for us. But if he had not come, where would we be? If he was not sent here, where would we be? And so, to Brother Ike's point, Thanksgiving is always. So even if you feel like you're going through something that is not easy to go through, or you feel like it's the end of the road, be thankful that he died on that cross, that he gave up himself for you and for me. And if we have nothing else to worship and thank him about, we can thank him for that one thing. And so I want to leave you with the scripture that Ike had read this morning. This was not in my message. And it's just about praising. And it's in Ephesians 5. Um, 18 through 20. And it reads, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, and giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." So in the midst of our thankfulness, when we are thanking God and giving him this true thanksgiving that Brother Ike talked about this morning, we are also worshiping in that moment. That thanks that comes out of our mouth is worship. So remember, we've come a long way from the temple in the Old Testament and where the Holy Spirit dwelled, to a point now where the Holy Spirit is in you and me. And so our bodies are temples, and they are a form of worship, a creation that should worship. And you are not confined. I don't know if your job place doesn't believe or whatever the case is, but you are not confined. You worship anyway. And so as we get ready to close out, let's go to the Lord in prayer. And I pray that you remember that your God is not limited in what he does, and allow him to use you as a tambourine or a tabernacle instrument for the rest of the world to see him in you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you that you created us. We thank you that you created us to worship you. You created us for yourself. And we know that the devil will try to trip us up, and he will try to confine us to a space where we can't use our worship, Lord. But help us to always, always, always remember that we can worship you, because the worship has no walls, has no confinement, no isolation, Lord. But in our intimate time with you, Jesus, like the woman at the well who ran out and told everyone about Jesus, that was worship. So God, we thank you, Lord, for her obedience and going out and telling what God had done for her. But we pray that you would put that inside of us, Lord, and that we would be your instruments, that we would play each and every day from the time that we wake up to the time that we go to bed, Lord, and that we would be obedient, Lord, to how you want us to worship you. Through our words, through our spirit, Lord, help us be true worshipers that worship in spirit and in truth. So God, we thank you in advance for all you are going to do through us. We love you and we honor you. In Jesus' name.
Father, we just thank you. We thank you. We thank you because we can worship in spirit and in truth, no matter what we're going through, no matter where we're at. Father, we thank you for this message. We thank you for the reminder that you are with us, and that we can simply just enter into worship no matter where we're at, no matter what we're going through. That, Father, worship is not confined to this church, but we are the very temples of God. Once again, Lord God, we just give you all the praise and all the glory for this word. Amen? Amen. 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 Well, real quick, just a couple of quick announcements. If you haven't given, now is the time to do so. And as always, we need and appreciate your support. Also, the Pakistan Solar Project. No need to give to that. We have raised the funds that are needed. So please clap for yourself, please. Yes, we have raised the funds. So that is done. Everybody responded, and we're able to bless them with what they need to do what they need to do. So just thank you guys, and thank you God for making that happen. And last but not least, today, this morning, is the last day to pick up a Thanksgiving food basket. So if you haven't done so by the time we close service, it might be too late. But if you still need one or know somebody that needs one, if they can get here by the next 30 minutes or so, then good luck. But if not, see you after Thanksgiving. And one more message. We do have a new commentary that Pastor wrote. So if you do get a chance, you can order this online. I'm not sure if we have any physical ones on hand, but if we do, check at the welcome desk and they'll be able to help you with that. And of course, it is $15. So have that ready, whether that's cash or however else you want to pay. Well, with that being said, happy Thanksgiving. Thank you for being out this morning, and we look forward to seeing you guys next Sunday. There is no prayer on Tuesday and no Bible study on Wednesday. So if you come out here, you would do those things by yourself, which is fine. So see you on Sunday. God bless you guys.